Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: Visit Springfield, PI.org, and the Illinois Education Association.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
On the final days of the spring legislative session, there was a lot of maneuvering in an effort to keep the Chicago Bears playing in Illinois. But when the session ended, state lawmakers were unable to agree on a plan. The Bears have now said they're moving ahead on an Indiana site in Hammond. But is that a done deal? And a central Illinois prison will be moving to the Chicago suburbs. We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus, and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week, the reporter Brendan Moore with Capital News Illinois. Brendan, always good to have you back on the show.
Great to be with you, Sean.
So, Brendan, let me start with you. The Bears want property tax breaks to help build a stadium in suburban Arlington Heights, and that's been on the drawing board for a long time. They want to move from Soldier Field. They say it's too small. They want to do more. There was no agreement on this during the legislative session, as I mentioned. You've been following this closely. So I guess, first of all, why didn't it pass, and where does it go from here?
Yeah, so it didn't pass for a lot of reasons. I think the big one is this mega project tool basically would allow the Bears or other large developers to negotiate a payment in lieu of taxes for a period of up to 40 years with local governing bodies. Concerned a lot of lawmakers because it would be a statewide deployment of a tool that, you know, has never happened in Illinois. And so they were concerned about the impact on tax revenue in their communities, on the revenue being maybe siphoned off from local taxing bodies like school districts. And then you also have a lot of Chicago legislators that did not want to vote for a bill that would incentivize the Bears to leave. So a bill passed the House in April that included a mega projects component that had a lot of other sweeteners on there. It really became kind of a Christmas tree economic development bill that gave a little bit to everyone to get the votes to get it out of the House. Did not have the support in the Senate. So they pivoted in the very final hours to a public ownership model that would allow for municipalities to set up these stadium authorities, and including Chicago, Arlington Heights, would in theory put Chicago on an equal playing field to compete for a stadium project. So the Senate passed that at 3 a.m. On the final day of session. The House did not take it up, did not have enough time to go through the bill. So they adjourned without the House passed a bill, the Senate passed a bill, but not the same bill. Need that to happen for it to get to the governor's desk. So the following Friday, the Bears released a statement saying that as a result, their board of directors voted to advance a development, stadium development in Hammond, right across the Illinois-Indiana state line. Hoosier lawmakers, as we know, have promised upwards of $1 billion for direct stadium construction, public subsidies for stadium construction, in addition to more for infrastructure. So that deal's kind of been on the table, and the Bears say they're kind of going in that direction now. There were some very important caveats in that statement, though. They did not indicate a final decision. They said they voted to advance. It was very similar language to what they used when the bill passed in Indiana back in February. And then subsequently, we didn't see any movement that way for several months. And also, they don't have a stadium site finalized in Indiana. They still have to do that work. And then subsequently, you know, I was told, other reporters were told by key negotiators in Illinois that the Bears were still talking to them, that they look forward to continuing conversations with Illinois. So, and then the governor said that earlier this week that there's been communication with the Bears and that they think that something can still get done in Illinois. Obviously, there's been talk about a special session or just a summer session. The House Speaker Chris Welch has basically ruled that out on the House side. The governor said that he'd be happy to call folks in if they can get to an agreement on a bill between the House and the Senate. But it appears like it may have to wait for veto session in November So that's kind of where we're at now. Of, something may be able to happen if the Bears are patient and can wait until November, because I don't think it's going to happen earlier. But will they finish their due diligence in Hammond before then? There's still environmental review to do. There's still a lot of other site work and a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross there. So we're still in a bit of a holding pattern in a way. But one thing that the governor said is that the Bears kind of have to, kind of announce what their intentions are, what their plan is, and stick to it. That was another big reason why this didn't get done, is because the Bears had been pivoting so much. First, they were in Arlington Heights, then they wanted to do Chicago, then they went back to Arlington Heights, and then it was Arlington Heights or Hammond, and then there was maybe some back channels with Chicago. So the governor's kind of like, okay, enough of the games. Let us know where you want to be, what you need, and get in the game, talk to legislators. Like, the Bears were not. The George McCaskey, Kevin Warren were not, in Springfield those last days of session. Like, you got to be more engaged. And so I think that, if certain things happen, then I think there's still a possibility for a deal to be made in Illinois. But it's far from certain. And obviously, Indiana still looms, although, again, there's still a lot of questions about, how concrete that proposal is. There's still a lot of details that have to be filled in before they get shovels in the ground, either there or, in Arlington Heights.
Yeah, Charlie, this is, I want to get your thoughts on it, but definitely the Bears are playing these sides against each other. I mean, maybe that's good business. Maybe it's good politics. Who knows? Maybe that gets them what they want. But definitely, while they've come out and tried to make this move, like, hey, or this announcement that, hey, we may make this move to Indiana, we're going to move ahead with that. It's clear they're still open to negotiation, and this has kind of been their MO during this entire process, hasn't it?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, when they made the announcement that we're going to go to Hammond, at the same time, they also told the lead negotiators in the Senate and the House on the issue that they're still going to be talking with Illinois, so they're not ruling out anything. I look at it as the Bears just have done a really lousy job on this. They hired some good lobbyists, but they didn't pay any attention to them. And it goes back, oh, what, a couple of years ago, even when they first announced that they were going to build this stadium on the lakefront to kind of replace Soldier Field. And so the mayor and the Bears had this press conference, and it caught the governor and the legislative leaders by surprise. They had no clue that this was going to occur. So they got off on the wrong foot there. And then later on, it turns out they said that they were only dealing with, I guess they were only talking about Arlington Heights or going to Hammond. And then we find out towards the end of the last month or so, they were also having kind of secret conversations with the Chicago mayor. So they strike me as people who can't really be very trusted. And I think what Pritzker has said, and what I believe legislators could agree to, is okay, Bears, tell us what you really need. Tell us how we can put it together. And then when you are willing to commit to something, we will have the votes for it and we'll do it. And you can do it in a special session. Now, the governor says he's open to a special session once the deal is ready to be considered. But otherwise, we're just going to goof around and wait and see what happens. Now, there are really questions about Hammond. I've seen stories that suggest that, in essence, Hammond is basically built on a, what would be a proper way to say this, basically on bio waste, filling in for foundry slag. And so there's some question of when they actually get down to doing some of the evaluations, some of the environmental work, will this particular site even pass muster? So there's still a lot of moving pieces. And I'm guessing if the bears could get their act together and sit down with legislative leaders and the key negotiators, I think you'd get something worked out and get something passed before the fall session.
We'll talk more in a moment on State Week.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.
We're back on State Week, and Brendan Moore with Capital News Illinois is our guest this week. We're talking about the Chicago Bears. Brendan, I look at the politics of this because, boy, right after it became clear that they weren't going to get anything done in the spring session, the Republican nominee for governor, Darren Bailey, went on the attack on J.B. Pritzker, blaming him for possibly allowing the Bears to escape to another state and play there, using that as sort of a failing. And we've seen Republicans now, though, coming up with some plans of their own to try to keep the Bears here in Illinois and maybe in Arlington Heights. So is it a big political issue for J.B. Pritzker? It is an election year. He is talking about, you know, or at least thinking, I believe, about running for president at some point. Is this a big issue for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, whether it's the governor or whether it's legislators that even have had a hard line on this, nobody wants to be responsible for the Bears leaving for Indiana. And so I think for the governor, he's trying to balance, am I willing to let the Bears go? Because obviously Illinois is not going to give away the store in terms of tax incentives, public subsidies in the way Indiana has, or, you know, and is he, you know, on the other side, I mean, he could kind of position himself as, you know, I'm not giving away handouts to billionaires. So, I mean, there are ways he can play it. And I'd like to see some polling on this to see kind of what the mood is of voters in the state. You know, the most recent polling we saw, I think it was last year, showed that most did not support public subsidies for professional sports teams to build stadiums. And so I'd be interested to see if that's still the case, especially with the prospect of the Bears leaving maybe a little bit more real. Now, the governor this week was, I think he struck more of a defensive posture when he talked to reporters, because he has received some criticism for his level of engagement on this topic. You know, some believe in the Capitol that, you know, if he really leaned on legislators, that he probably could have gotten something across the finish line on mega projects, but obviously it did not. There's also been some reporting in other places about the amount of time he spent in Springfield this session was not as much as in the past, and obviously we all know that there's an eye towards 2028, so that plays into it too. But I think he's very aware of what the optics are, and I think he wants to get a deal done. And I've been telling this to people like just regular folks who don't follow politics like we do every day, who are just kind of like, what the heck's going on? And they're a lot of people blame the governor because, you know, a phrase we use down here, governor's own. You know, the guy at the top's always going to get the blame, get the credit, you know, when things happen. But here the governor's really been supportive of getting something done for the Bears. The issue's kind of been in the legislature, in getting, you know, 60 votes in the House, 30 in the Senate, in something that the governor can sign. And as you mentioned, Sean, there are some Republicans that have pitched some ideas to try to get this back on track. State Rep Dan Ugaste proposed a slimmed down version of the mega projects bill that would basically take out some of the lower tiers of investment. So you would have to invest $500 million for mega project designation currently, or the bill that passed the House, $100 million was the minimum investment. So this wouldn't be an issue for the Bears because they're going to invest $2 billion into a stadium project. But Rep. Ugaste says that there would also be taxpayer protections in this package. Then you have Rep. Marty McLaughlin from Barrington Hills, Republican, who basically would just significantly up the amount of infrastructure spending the state would do for the Bears. It would be over $1 billion. Although his plan did not mention anything about property taxes, which has kind of been the holdup here. So, but it's interesting to see some of these ideas kind of percolate. And I think it is worth noting, Republicans here because their votes might matter, depending on kind of how it shakes out. I mean, I know we always talk about House Speaker Chris Welch's 60 Democrat rule that you need 60 Democrats for a bill to move in the House. You don't necessarily have that in the Senate, so you can probably pass something with some Republican votes there. And they've showed they're willing to vote for something on mega projects. 10 voted for the bill in the House, 2 voted for the stadium bill in the Senate. So I think there is some room for bipartisanship here. It'll be interesting to see if, Pritzker and supermajority Democrats in the legislature would be willing to play ball and entertain some of these ideas coming from the superminority.
Charlie, is the before we move on, is this something do you think that would be a dark spot on Pritzker's record if the Bears do move out, or if he stands tall against them and says, no, we're going to do it our way, or you can just take your games and play over in Hammond, which again is the Chicagoland area. It's not like they're playing in, 3 states away, but it's like, does he really have something to lose here?
Yeah, I guess it would be better for him if the Bears were to stay in Illinois. But on the other hand, I think he can frame it in terms of what are you paying at the grocery store? What are you paying at the gas pump? What are the expenses you're facing? And here this multi-billion dollar corporation is and is asking for a big handout, while at the same time, your average citizen, are struggling to put food on the table. I think if he presents it in that term, I think there'd be a lot of people who would agree, yeah, we should take care of our own and let the mega rich worry about themselves. And probably the most interesting development all week long, a story in the Sun-Times that quoted Caleb Williams as saying he doesn't care where the Bears play. And the quote is, I'm going to play wherever there's 100 by 53 and a half of the yards, and it's marked up with white lines and 2 end zones. I'm okay with whatever. Whatever they decision make is whatever they decision they make. I just want some green and my teammates and coaches and another team out there and fans. So for what it's worth, Caleb Williams is neutral.
Yeah, and that's probably a smart way to be. You don't want to alienate those fans in Northwest Indiana either. Well, we'll be back with more on State Week in just a moment.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association, serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at ieanea.org.
Well, something else that happened here in the past week, the announcement that the Logan Correctional Center, that's a women's prison, it's old, needs a lot of repairs or upgrades, and the state wants to build a new prison, but they want to move this prison to the Joliet area, which is where the state also plans to rebuild Stateville Prison. Brendan, there's no other way to look at that. That's a blow to a community that's seen a lot of economic blows over the last couple of decades, and that's Lincoln, which is located just a little bit north of Springfield and in right along I-55.
This is pretty devastating for Lincoln. Just to give some background, I mean, it's a community of about 13,000 people. 2 decades ago, the Lincoln Developmental Center closed. Just a few years ago, they had 2 smaller private universities close that had been in the community for over a century. And now the Logan Correctional Center, which, the writing has kind of been on the wall for a couple of years now. They started this process, I believe it was in 2024, maybe it was last year, but that they wanted to move Logan up to the Chicago area. And the reasons that they gave were, I mean, they were valid reasons that 40% of the population at Logan is from, Cook County, from the Chicago area. And as we know, our prisons are disproportionately downstate. We have two women's prisons. We have Logan and we have Decatur. So this would, geographically make it a little bit more balanced across the state, would allow for families to easier access to their loved ones who are incarcerated. But to your point, Sean, I mean, this is prisons, and I mean state facilities in general, but especially prisons are often economic drivers for downstate communities like Lincoln. And I believe last count there were about 450 people employed at Logan. And so that's 450 people. And then you think about, their spouses and their children that are in the schools. These are your folks that coach Little League. I mean, these are pillars in your community. And what happens to them? The Department of Correction says that there's a lot of open positions at other prisons within, I think they said within like a 90-mile radius. But how many folks are going to commute 90 miles, or commute to Decatur, commute to Pontiac, commute to another facility? Some may get on over at Lincoln Correctional Center, which by all accounts is staying in Lincoln. But you're probably going to have a lot of people that are just going to leave the community, and not anything that's obvious that can replace that type of employer. We know that, I mentioned the Lincoln Developmental Center site. Governor Pritzker has included that in his Surplus to Success program, where they're trying to flip it and get it ready for economic development. You can maybe put like a logistics center there or something like that. And I know that generally speaking, the governor has talked about wanting to get out of the business of having prisons be economic development in communities. Like, you want to drive it, in private sector, other means of than of, incarcerating people. And we should also know too that the incarcerated population in the state is been going down. It peaked around, I think, 50,000 maybe a decade ago. We're about 30,000 now. So that's going to open up a lot of questions in the future here about, how many prisons do we need, and if we have to close some, where are you going to close them? Because that becomes a politically fraught topic in a lot of these communities. And whether we like it or not, it is a upstate downstate issue. And so I think it is, it's a big blow for Lincoln. But again, I don't think it should be come as a surprise to anybody.
And Charlie, whether the governor wants to call it economic development or not, just like universities, like a lot of other things the state has, it is important to the local economy, and it's been that way for decades. Now, a lot of these prisons are aging. They were placed there because of the economic development they would bring. But I do understand the state's decision on this too, that majority of the population's more from the Chicago area, and if that's the case, you want them to be closer to family, because that's very important for people when they get out of prison. If they've had contact with family during the time they were incarcerated, the outcomes are a lot better. But again, it's tough for these towns when something like this happens.
You look at the history of the corrections development, if you will, in Illinois, and it's just increased dramatically in terms of the number of people we've put in prison, the number of institutions that we've built. A lot of this goes back basically to when Governor Thompson was elected, and of course he had a prior record as a prosecutor. And so he was very interested in criminal justice, and he proposed something called Class X, and it would have people convicted of crimes of violence would get mandatory minimum sentence of 6 to 60 years, no probation, no parole. Three Class X convictions, the person would be sentenced mandatory life sentence, no probation, no parole. Now, that was very popular with people who were concerned about the crime issue back then. But on the other hand, it also had a price tag with it. Thompson's administration built more prisons than at any time in state's history, but they still were not enough. As a matter of fact, in 1971, there were basically there was a prison in Joliet, the old prison on Collins Street, Stateville, Pontiac, Menard, Vandalia, which was a state farm prison, and a reformatory for women in Dwight, and a prison in Vienna. And now there are 27 adult prisons compared to 7 when the department originated. And the expansion followed the fact that more people were getting arrested and put away. And I covered a lot of this because I'm dating myself now, but I was covering state government for the Sun-Times when Governor Thompson put forward the Class X. The competition among local communities, mostly downstate, for these prisons was dramatic, and some of it was like they would have a community would have a parade trying to show that they wanted a prison and they'd be a good place for one. So this has been a long-standing trend where people have seen prisons as necessary for economic development.
It's time now for our notes from the field. Brendan, we'll go to you first.
Tonight is the Illinois Republican Party's annual Red Gala. They're bringing in MAGA YouTube star Nick Shirley as their keynote speaker. Shirley is a name that's gotten known in the past few months. So he was the guy that kind of helped spur the federal crackdown in Minneapolis, highlighted some of the fraud scandal in Minnesota. It's just an interesting choice for a Republican Party in Illinois that is still trying to find its way back. It's just kind of a signal of where the party is today, though. And I don't know if that is the kind of person that's going to help them win back more voters.
All right. And Charlie.
Well, rideshare drivers in Illinois are going to be able to unionize pretty soon as the legislature approved a bill to authorize their organization. And it's on the governor's desk. Under the bill, drivers could form a union by gathering signatures from 10% of active drivers and then winning support from 30% of active drivers. And it would be optional for drivers to join the union once it's created. But the expectation is that the governor will sign the bill.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Thanks for joining us. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and Brendan Moore with the Capital News Illinois. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling changemakers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at PIORG.org.